Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
If you need the yellow sheet for our Bible study tonight, if you'll just raise your hand, somebody will bring it to you. If you need the yellow sheet for the Bible study tonight, okay? Well, I love that last song. Whom shall I fear? The God of angel armies is a friend of mine. When you have the God of heaven as your friend, kids, then you're amazing. And the Lord's going to take care of you. Dr. Jerry Vines, he told a story. He was not of large stature. And so when he was in middle school and elementary, he got picked on a little bit. But he had a really big buddy that found out that these boys were giving him some trouble. And so he was at school, and he said that these guys were picking on him, and his buddy that's really big and stout said, "Hey, you got a problem with Vines?" And they backed up, and they kind of got spooked, and Dr. Vines, when he was a kid, he leaned over and said, "Yeah, you got a problem with me?" Like that, you know. He got bold because he had a big friend. And so I tell you, for our children to learn that truth, that when you have Jesus, who in the world should you fear? No one, because Jesus is on your side. I tell you what, that's a great truth. Thank you, kids, for helping us and teaching us tonight and sharing with us and helping us tonight. I want you to take your Bibles and open them to the book of Jonah. And I want you to know, if you can just, without looking at your sheet, just tell me what book of the Bible you think of when I throw out these objects. A pacifier. James. Good, good. All right. How about a wheelbarrow? The book of John. That's right. How about binoculars? Very good. Proverbs. How about a Kleenex? Lamentations and Jeremiah. Okay, how about a thought bubble? Philippians. Philippians, a thought bubble, because our joy depends upon our mind. 16 times in that book it talks about the mind. Knowing something brings joy and gladness in your heart. How about a safe? Anybody know? A safe for riches. That is Ephesians. All right, you got work to do on number 11 now. That's a say, all right? How about what Matt taught us? An alarm clock. Malachi. Matt, you did good, man. We got a lot of strong answers on that, brother. That's awesome. Okay, a missionary map. Very good, Acts. Now, a conclusion in a paper. The conclusion. Ecclesiastes, very good. All right. Now, I just want to say this. I went on our website. Dave Wright is so gracious as an act of love for our church. He posts all of the sermons that are preached here, and he puts them on our website. So if you ever want to go back and listen to stuff, you can, and you can share it with others. But I went back and heard Mike Weldon's excellent Bible study on Leviticus. It was fantastic. And two things that I pulled from that as themes, and I put them there under the book of Leviticus, was the concept of holiness. What does Peter quote? He talks about it in the sermon that he preached. Peter quotes Leviticus, and the scripture is, "Be ye holy, for I am." That's right. And then that's from the book of Leviticus. And then the atonement. Jesus Christ was our substitute. So what was his object lesson? Okay. NutraSweet. Well, actually, it's sweet and low. Okay? Sweet and low. But the concept is there. That's good, all right? Now, I want you to, yeah, that's right. Sweet and low is a substitute for sugar. And in the same way, well, not in the same way, but as analogous to that, think about it. We deserve punishment, but Jesus Christ was our substitute. So that is an object lesson for us to remember that the book of Leviticus is about that. It's about the atonement that is made for sin. So, Mike, thank you for doing that wonderful Bible study. It really blessed me to listen to it. I want you to look at the book of Jonah, and we're going to quickly work through these little points here, 4 points that I want you to get. And basically, these are 4 chapters. There are 4 chapters in the book of Jonah. It was written about 825 to 790 B.C. Key verses, I actually put 2 verses in there. In chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice." Now, what was the belly of Sheol for Jonah? The fish, the great fish. And I actually meant to make a blank there, and I didn't do it. On the first line, I put the object lesson, a what? Prepared fish. So I want you to think about a fish. I think that will remind you of the book of Jonah. But he was in the belly of that fish and he cried out to the Lord, okay? So that's one of the verses. But then another key verse, chapter 3, verse 2, is the commission of God to Jonah. He said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah is about the preaching of the gospel to other cultures. It's the preaching of the gospel to those that were not like Jonah. God was saying to Jonah, you go for me and go to other people in Nineveh and you preach the message of God. And so that's what his commission was to do. The first chapter, though, the first blank there is Jonah running. Jonah running. In chapter 1, verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee from Tarshish." The first chapter of Jonah is Jonah running from the presence of the Lord. "He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish." Now, Tarshish, maybe you have a study note in your Bible that'll tell you about Tarshish. Tarshish, they're not sure exactly where Tarshish was. Some think it was as far as Spain. Boy, he was trying to get Damascus, Nineveh was in the east, and Tarshish was as far to the west as you could go. And so he was trying to get away. So he paid the fare, and he went down into that boat to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, had laid down and gone fast asleep. He knew he was running from God, and he found a place to lay down, and he laid down. And as the tempest on the sea was enacted and it increased, so the captain, verse 6, came to him and said, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid, and they said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Now, we won't read every verse, but you move on down. Eventually, they didn't want to do it initially, but in verse 15, so they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Now, can you imagine these men? All of this big whipping up of the wind and the sea, and boy, that ship was about to go down, and all of a sudden they take this one guy and throw him over, and everything just calms down. The scripture says in verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord. They said, find something to sacrifice, man. This God of this guy is the real God. We've got to worship him. And so they took vows, it says at the end of verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. So I'm thinking that great fish is our object lesson, because God has a prepared fish for you when you will not obey him. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So lessons from chapter 1, as you think about this. First of all, God calls people to his service. God is after you to do something for him. And he was after Jonah to go and preach to Nineveh, and yet Jonah turned away. You know, you can miss what God's called you to do. You can turn away from it. But here's what's interesting. Finally, implied here, no one can run. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Let me get second. Second, God cares enough about sinners to send a word of hope, love, and grace. Those in Nineveh were the enemies of God, and yet God loved them. They were not the people of Israel, but yet God loved them anyway. And so a lesson is, he is wanting to send us to those that don't know him. That's the missionary mandate. I tell you, folks, as you study the scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, and every book of the Bible, you're going to find the missionary mandate. The mandate from Jesus, the mandate from God, that we go and tell the gospel to the whole world. So God cares enough about sinners to send a word of hope, a word of love, and a word of grace. And then finally, implied here, is no one can run from God. Psalm 139, verse 5, we get there, says this: you have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. You ever feel like that when God is speaking to you, God is leading you to do something, you may sense that you can run from that? But ultimately, you sense that the hand of God is before you. He's kind of hedged you in. He's kind of put his arms up right there to get you into the right place. So I think there's a lesson there. And God used that prepared fish in Jonah's life to get him to do what he called him to do. So this is really a missionary book. This is really a gospel book. Number two, Jonah repenting. In chapter 2, verse 2 is one of our key verses. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Too often we have to go in the belly of the fish before we begin to pray. And that's what happened to Jonah, but he was there in the belly of that fish. Now, we won't go into all that must have been like. Can you imagine being in there with gastric juices everywhere? And I imagine after 3 days, when that fish spit him out, boy, his skin was, you talking about needing some sunscreen when he hit that beach, boy, I guarantee it, he was in bad shape. But while he was in the belly of that fish, he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Imagine. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth, with its bars closed behind me forever, yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. That's a key verse of him repenting. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. So we see Jonah repenting. He's a prodigal returning. The Lord has you hedged in, Psalm 139:5. You might as well do what Jesus wants you to do. If you're his child, he chastens his children just like a loving father chastens his children. And so he's going to get your attention. And so this is the story of chapter 2. Chapter 3. Jonah preaching. First of all, Jonah running, then Jonah repenting, and then Jonah preaching. There's nothing more wonderful than to follow through on what Jesus wants you to do. And so Jonah finally turned back to the Lord. And if you notice in verse 1 of chapter 3, it looks almost identical to what happened at the beginning of chapter 1. It's like the Lord just started over with him. He said, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach. Preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. It took 3 days to walk around Nineveh. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, here's something that happened that the preacher was not prepared for. Verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and they put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent? It's an interesting word, that word relent. And turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. Verse 10, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. The Lord relented. He willed it that they would not suffer what would have happened, the consequences that would have happened. And so chapter 3 is Jonah preaching. Now, all of these little points, I don't have blanks there, but this is a display that it was a conversion. First of all, if you go back to verse 5, this is all found in verse 5 of chapter 3. So the people of Nineveh believed God. The great word of John is the word believe. That's get in the wheelbarrow. In other words, the New Testament belief is the statement that you not only trust in God, but it's going to make a difference in your life. It's going to yield something happening. Well, how did it do with these people of Nineveh? Well, not only did it say they believed, but they proclaimed. It came out verbally, and even the king proclaimed. He made a proclamation. So they believed God. They proclaimed a fast. And then they put on. So just a simple picture there of true salvation. When one believes, they also give testimony with their mouth. And then they outwardly show it in their lifestyle. And this is the picture that we see here. Jonah preaching. So in chapter 3, it shifts to where they repent and they turn to the Lord. So our outline, Jonah running, Jonah repenting, Jonah preaching, and then the very last one. Now, why did this have to end this way? Look what happened in chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. He never expected these people of Nineveh to turn. How would we respond if everyone in this community showed up here and wanted to give their lives and become a part? Everybody in this community and the surrounding half mile of this church, if all of a sudden they all came in here one Sunday, and guess what they did? They sat in your seat. Guess what they did? They took up your space. They packed the bathrooms. You came in here on Wednesday night to eat supper, and your round table was not available anymore. Now, before we get so spiritual and get upset at Jonah, that's something to think about, isn't it? The preacher was surprised because the people repented, but then his colors came out in the sense that he was displeased. He wanted judgment to come on Nineveh. There's some people that, if we're not careful, we would be displeased if they really turned to Jesus, because we're waiting for the fire of God to come down upon their heads. That's not the attitude of the Lord. That's not the attitude that the Lord is pleased with. So he prayed to the Lord, verse 2, and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and a merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." He was mad that the people turned to the Lord. Verse 3, "Now therefore, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live." He was having a big pity party. Then the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry?" What a question. I've got that circled in my Bible. Just that little statement right there. Then the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And can I say this? Let's look in the mirror. Would it ever be right for us to be surprised, discouraged, unhappy if the person whom we were expecting to receive the greatest judgment turned and gave their life to Jesus? You know, it wouldn't be appropriate. You know why? Because we have received God's mercy, haven't we? We have received the mercy of God. We have received his loving kindness. Listen, I say this every once in a while, but I just remember attitudes that I had as a kid, you know, towards my single parent mom. Man, she sacrificed so much, but there was so much selfishness. Now, don't look at me so pious. You know how I know you were just like that? Because I've read the Bible, and the Bible says we have that depraved nature. And I just remember wanting my way and saying things I can't believe I would have said to someone who had sacrificed so much. It's one of the things that drove me to want to give my life to Christ, because I knew I needed some transformation inside of me to make me different. So before we get upset at Jonah, let's just remember that we have been forgiven. We have been so graciously loved by Jesus and forgiven of our sin. It's not right for us to be angry. So what did Jonah do? He went out in the city. He made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a plant and made it to come up over Jonah. Now the old King James Bible says a gourd. If you have an old King James Bible, it's saying the Lord prepared a gourd. My new King James says a plant made it to come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. Do you want to live that way? Just mad at the world, not seeing the blessing that God has bestowed his grace upon these people. And so he was there, and God, even in grace, made the plant. Might be shade for his head. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. He had a lesson he was going to teach Jonah. God prepared a worm, the Bible says. And so it damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun rose that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself. And he said, it's better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. Yes, it's right. I had this plant, this worm came along and destroyed it. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? So chapter 4 unfortunately ends with Jonah complaining. Jonah complaining. God's people struggle to value all people whom God has created, and oftentimes they put their selfish desires and comforts over the gospel. The question is, plants or gourds, what's more valuable to you, gourds or souls? Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.